That's the Preservation Hall Jazz Band with a bit of New Orleans for you today with the well-known standard Basin Street Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trace Lead. It is Wednesday, July the 31st, and I'm going to talk today about the issue that has gripped the world, literally, and has done so via the agency of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange and others, and Bradley Manning. I want to talk about it because it's important to hear the flip side, I think. And so let's get some of the understoods out of the way. What's understood from my perspective? I understand the central question here about the nature of the power equation between the governed and the government. It's a huge issue. I understand that, and it is a critical question. Should the government have unilateral power to do just about anything it wishes to do? And should people just sit by and allow it to happen? It's a very important question. And it is no more important now than it ever has been. It has been the nature of discourse in this country, the role of the governed versus the role of government. That is, in fact, the central discussion when we talk about democracy. Since it is envisioned, at least theoretically, that in a republic such as ours, the people have reasonably equal access to the throttle and brake of government, and government is an instrument, at least theoretically, of the people. So I could understand the discussion within that context. No question, no problem about that at all. And it is noteworthy that the question arises. How the question arises, and why the question arises, and why it arises now, however, I think is lost in the sauce. And the requirement almost that we are to accept things as we see them without asking questions. We are to not question the veracity of Edward Snowden. We're simply to support him. Well, I differ with that markedly, and I'll give you my reasons. Number one is that we have to remember that this is a peculiar country, born in a crucible of very strange combinations of interests. But those interests always have agreed that people of color have absolutely no role to play in determining outcomes or determining anything, how this country is to be run. That is universally agreed upon and accepted. Which is why when a similar call or similar calls about this very thing, the excesses of government, repeatedly have been raised by people of color in the United States, they routinely have been dismissed as being silly and trivial and inconsequential, not really very important, and certainly not so important as to occupy the attention of the nation. These are small, separate little interests that you can put into a nice compact little box, and you can deal with them as such. They're not related to anything else. They're isolated. They're things related to those people. But we've been calling attention to the excesses of government a long, long time. And they've been ignored for a very long time. And the reason I'm raising this question is that I want to point out for the so-called progressive and liberal communities, if you wish to use that word, the contradictions, because there are contradictions. The excesses of government are nothing new. And in this particular instance, as it is relating to the PRISM program, the vast cyber surveillance program that is in focus now, that was brought to the fore again through the agency of Edward Snowden. We are encouraged to believe that it is now a legitimate issue. Why? Why is it now a legitimate issue? Why wasn't it a legitimate issue long ago when people were talking about this? And not just within the United States. Communities of color within the United States have been talking about the excesses of government. And certainly nations outside of the United States have been talking about this. Nations within the United States, as in the first peoples of the United States, who are called Native Americans, but they are the first nations of the United States. They, more than anybody else, could tell you about the excesses of government. But somehow, when these arguments are made and posited by these particular groups, they are not really given the heft. They don't have the weight. They don't have the authenticity, it seems, as when others make a call and say, well, this is now an issue. And everybody suddenly agrees. Of course it's an issue. It's now a big issue. So I am not alarmed about the substance of the revelation by Edward Snowden and others about the excesses of government, because I'm familiar with the history of this particular dimension of government as it has played out in communities of color in the United States and abroad. The only difference in this matter is the degree to which the capacity of the government to do these kinds of things, make these incursions on people's rights. The capacity of government is exponentially enhanced by technology. But the record shows that as long as there was a government, this aspect and this function of government has been an integral part of its functioning. So I'm not going crazy about the idea, oh my God, there's this grand revelation and suddenly, you know, we are privy to something we have no knowledge of. Now, this is where I want the rubber to meet to read the road. The reason it becomes an issue is that whites in this country have seen, I mean, really understood now in this program and in the execution of this program, they've seen themselves either as actual victims or as potential victims. In other words, they're beginning to understand how other people have felt, and they don't like it. The difference, however, is in their capacity to respond at a level that is very different from the way communities of color have been able to respond and have the response treated with the attended seriousness. When we have this schism, and this is again the work for progressive communities, always to remember that things don't just happen in a vacuum. There's a history there. It is conveniently set aside. Why? And there's a fundamental reason. It is part of the what I call the privilege of whiteness in our society. A thing becomes legitimate only when a white person says it's so. An issue becomes legitimate only when a white community says it recognizes it as such. But what troubles me is that I understand very well how important it is that this issue should be raised. It is a major issue, of course. But we need, if we are going to profess ourselves to be progressive people, left of center, whatever it is you want to call yourselves, the fact is, the proper identification of this issue and its proper placement is also important. We have to look and we have to question why now. Why did this issue become important now? Who are these people who have emerged as the center of it, the main actors in this play? And why is it that we're not asking the questions we ought to be asking? Why now? It's a very important question. Things don't just happen in a vacuum. Why now? Why not when, say, the war on terror was at its peak in the Bush administration? Certainly it was going on since then and before then. And here I point to the role of Julian Assange. As you know, Mr. WikiLeaks himself, the man who has set himself up internationally known as the guy who favors transparency above all, except as it relates to him. And you see an interesting relationship developing. You know, here's Bradley Manning today learning his fate, or beginning to, as the apparatus of government decides what his punishment would be for doing something that involves Julian Assange. Because it was to Julian Assange that Mr. Bradley Manning literally forfeited his future by collecting hundreds of thousands of classified documents and putting it in the hands of WikiLeaks. And you must remember, at one point, Julian Assange was the Mr. World famous guy. He was just a fantastic human being. How is it that his luster isn't there anymore? You notice that? How did he go from being the great crusader for truth and justice and transparency to a guy holed up in one room in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And who has relations with governments that themselves are doing very undemocratic things and is cultivating a group of people, perhaps all over the world, to put themselves on the line and to do what is being touted as a great civic duty, to put in the hands of Mr. Assange very sensitive documents. By the way, the documents that he published included the names and identities of people who easily could have been killed. This is a very serious business. This is not a joke. And when the newspapers themselves said that he wanted, you know, to be the agents of his the releases of top secret information, when they raised objections, saying, "Look, you know, we can't print this. We can't. There are certain things we can't print. People's lives are in danger. People would be killed." And his response was, well, I will tell you what you can print and what you can't print. And then the romance was over. So in a matter of a blink of an eye, Julian Assange's madness became quite evident to many people around the world who are responsible journalists and who understood that what he construed to be his right as a quote publisher unquote, you just put anything out there, it doesn't matter, because essentially it is about me, the individual, me. It's about me. And then they realized, without anybody saying anything, that you're dealing with a person who is not very well centered, a person who is psychologically off kilter. And we see the similar traits in Bradley Manning. We see similar traits in Ed Snowden. They're not well centered people. But they're useful in that they can contribute to this notion of the rise of a different power, a different kind of power. And this power literally can rule the world, which is really what Julian Assange sees. He sees himself as ruling the world. And information being key to that. Now, it is interesting that when Edward Snowden left the United States, he ended up in Russia because there Mr. Assange has a good relationship with the Russian government. And it's so funny because if you are for freedom of the press and transparency and whatnot, then what the heck are you doing in Russia? they're not especially enthusiastic about freedom of the press. So who are you working for? And why are we inclined to believe that this is about the United States and the constitutional questions and the relationship between the governed and the government? It is far more complex and far more complicated than that. This is about a program that is so far-reaching, and people are being manipulated into it because we see it strictly in the one-dimensional way that They want us to see it. It's about us versus the government. And anything that strikes a blow against the government, all right, we for that. No, you ought to ask questions. You ought to ask questions. Now, as I said, I have a little historical perspective on things, so I'm not alarmed by this so-called discovery that the government is indulging in spying activities. I'm not running for the hills and screaming my head off about rights that are being usurped. Because there's chapter and there's verse about the instances in which this has occurred and the frequency with which it has occurred and the lethality with which it has occurred. People in our communities, people from countries that were just unfolding into their own sovereignty. We've had any number of assassinations and so forth. So nobody needs to presume that I'm uneducated about the seriousness of this program, the program of spying. There is, however, within the framework of what's going on, the exercise of an age-old maxim, and that is, it has to do with white race privilege. When a white person makes the call, it therefore is serious. And you look at the nature of how it is being conducted. Edward Snowden and his father, Lonnie Snowden, have made it very clear that they despise this administration. Incidentally, as I said, I mean, this thing has been going on. It didn't seem to have a problem before. They didn't become vocal, say, when George Bush was in office. But they're very vocal now that Barack Obama is in office. And we all agree he didn't start it. We all agree that this is an inherited structure. But the level of contempt and the presumption of superiority to dictate the terms of negotiation is very instructive. Here's a guy at 29 and 30 years of age with no high school diploma who's able, by virtue of his skin color, and that's all, to land a job that pays $122,000 a year. The same zealot, the same person who is talking very adamantly about rights, had no problem being paid at that level, had no problem actually accruing wealth. Had no problem being very capitalistic, playing the stock market, selling short, making a handsome profit for the day, buying a home, all before the age of 30. That's impossible to do in this country if you're black or brown. It doesn't happen. So his prism, the prism through which Edward Snowden sees the world, is shaped by the notion of his rights. He has a right to live according to his expectation. And in his world, things fit according to his expectation. See, you can have no high school diploma, and the expectation is you can still maintain a pretty high standard of life. That prism through which other people see the world, that just doesn't happen. He is given credibility, as a matter of fact, because of his skin privilege in America. You know, the agency that hired him didn't see reason to subject him to any close scrutiny. Because, well, he looks just fine. And he had no problem working for the CIA. He had no problem working for the NSA. He had no problem enjoying the perks, living high on the hog in Geneva, you know, having no expenses, really, and just doing just fine. Living in paradise in Hawaii as a homeowner at age 29. That's his America. And in his America, when he decided that there were things that were troubling to him personally, the automatic assumption is, therefore, it must be troubling to everyone. He didn't have to take a poll. He didn't have to ask people their opinion. He didn't have to ask for permission. He went ahead and did what he did, fully cognizant of the fact that he was acting within the realm of his natural rights as a white person in America. And even at that age, entitled to disrupt even the entire country if it has to be, simply because he has to feel psychologically at ease. It doesn't matter what disruption you cause. It doesn't matter what you do, what kind of wreckage you cause. You can do whatever it is you want to do. Because after all, it's about you. And then everybody's job is to please you and to see to it that you are psychologically comfortable. And now the whole world has to be in turmoil because you are not pleased with the way things are. You can tell the president what you want done. And this is very instructive. No Latino at 29, no black man I know at 29 dare ever assume to tell the president what he can and cannot do. He is personally offended that the president has placed a politician in charge of national security. What a lousy choice. Something must be done about it. I am personally against that. Therefore, I can do what I wish to do and present it as a national agenda item. And of course, everybody understands. It is understood by the world community that this is not America's fight. This is white America's fight. Because certainly there's no consideration here about, well, gee, how are my actions going to impact on anybody? No. He understood himself to be acting as agent for a community that thinks like him, or he believes thinks like him, and it turns out he was right. And in typical fashion, where does he end up? Some brown country that they had no connection to or no high regard for. They have no history of contributing anything to Ecuador or Venezuela or Nicaragua or Bolivia. No history at all. But the Assange and Snowden's belief is, I want you. You will take me in. That's right. I'll make a mess and you can help me clean it up. And damned if they didn't succeed at that. They actually succeeded. Edward Snowden was not a revolutionary. Edward Snowden doesn't have a leftist thought in his brain. He was a contributor, in fact, to Rand Paul's campaign. And his ideological leading was absolutely way to the right. He's everything opposite of what it is he now says he is, what people think he is. But it is these people now who will be called upon to clean up the mess. The poorest country in South America must now put its hard-earned assets at the disposal of somebody having, in effect, a kind of temper tantrum. With no accountability to anybody. None of them had accountability to anybody but themselves. But they have somehow convinced people that they're doing it in behalf of the global community, and people should see that he is a kind of messenger about the erosion of rights. None of that is really true. Julian Assange is cultivating and building a new world order. And you look and you see that in these three instances, whether it's Julian Assange or Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden, the common thread is that these folks are not wrapped too tight. There's something wrong there. In all three of them. And they're questions that should be answered. Mr. Assange insists it is unimportant that he is wanted on a rape charge and a sexual assault charge. That is supposed to be of no consequence whatsoever. The man who sets himself up as the paragon of virtue and trust and the person who does the right thing and would not has dragged Ecuador, which is just trying to bring its own nation into the modern world, bring Ecuador into a fight it does not belong in. Bringing Venezuela into a fight it does not belong in. Such is the power, and they understand it. Such is the power that they have. So, I am not in any way dissuaded about the importance of the role of government. It's the ongoing question. There are libraries filled with this very question. If you go up to the Schomburg Library for the research in black culture, you read editorials of the old black newspapers, you read editorials of any of the old, this is the question. All oppressed communities have been dealing with this question for a long time. This is nothing new. Nothing new. But the power to name things, the power to define something, and usually, of course, they just grab it out of context and they say, here is your problem. It's brand new. And I am not a fan, as you know, of Barack Obama. I'm not a member of the fan club. But I do see how interesting it is that this fight should surface at this time in his administration and not before. And we had Edward Snowden's dad talking to Anderson Cooper the other night, talking about, yes, and Evo, he's actually referring to the president of a country that he hopes would take his son in. And he refers to him as if, you know, he's talking about the guy who mows his lawn. The racism here is not lost in the sauce. It is so thick, it's not even funny. And the progressive community needs to operate with an entirely different standard. The standard ought to be you answer some questions. This isn't about, well, you struck a blow, you've hit the government right where it hurts, hooray for you, we're with you. No. The standard also should be, who are you working for? Why now? Why aren't you dealing with the question of the sexual assault and rape charge that you are wanted on? Why have Manning and Edward Snowden come into your clutches? Why can't Edward Snowden's own father talk directly to his son? Because he's in the clutches of Julian Assange's operatives, even in Russia. This thing is huge. It is looking like an issue over transparency, but it is not. It is about a megalomaniac, and I'm referring to Mr. Assange himself, who sees himself as an authority unto himself, who sees himself as the ruler of a new type of nation, ruled by the technocrats. And as you can see, Edward Snowden is operating just like that. I mean, you have all this information and he's holding it, dangling it before the U.S., almost like an extortionist. You don't give me what I want, I could destroy you. And at the same time, he's telling us that he's really interested in his country operating on a more democratic basis. Look at the methodology. Look at the behavior. Look at the conduct. It is the exact opposite of democratic intent. So, that's my view. I'm not going to argue about whether a government should be doing this or doing that. That's, to me, that's just silly. It's, we're beyond that. That is super simplistic analysis, and we're way beyond that. We should have equal access and whatnot, but understand all these things in some communities are just theoretical discussions. If you talk about the African-American community, it's a theoretical discussion about having equal access to the throttle and brake of government. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? It has been a theoretical discussion. It remains a theoretical discussion. Now, that's for the African-American community, Latino community, other oppressed communities. Yes, that's been the case. There's only one community that sees it as a reality, a real possibility of forcing this discussion on equal terms. And this administration is a time that they choose to do it. And it's working. That's the sad part of it. And it confirms that they understand implicitly the power of whiteness in America. Now, some people are going to say, my God, you see everything through this lens. No, it's I'm using the word prism because that's the name of the intelligence program. You have to see the world shaped through the prism of history. I'm not fooled. I'm beyond the discussion. I'm beyond the discussion of whether this is the right thing or should government do this and should government do that. It's asinine to even engage in that kind of discussion. We're way beyond that. So I'll take your calls if we take a fast break and come back to your calls right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM, Nutrice Lead, and it seems we have a call. You're on the air, Ayanda. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, Nutrice. You know what? I was just, like, listening to your show, and I kind of, like, get the impression that you think that Obama is under attack from these guys because he's a person of color.
Obama is under the attack?
Yeah. I mean, Obama is under attack from the media and the people, you know, the white people, because he's black. You know, I don't really think it's because, you know, of him being black. You know, I think it's the time for the truth to come out, and really nothing should be hidden. You know.
No, I'm saying that it is interesting that this should arise now, when the administration, the Obama administration, is being saddled with the burdens or the responsibilities of previous administrations, and the method and the manner in which it is being done. I'm remarking about that as being particularly unusual, because it is openly contemptuous. And in fact, I can't imagine that the father of Edward Snowden and others would have spoken of George Bush that way, even if they disagreed with him. I just can't imagine it. And by the way, I mean, as I said, I am not a fan in the fan club of Barack Obama. But I see how things are being handled, and I see the way things are going. And it brings to mind the recklessness that some people choose to conduct themselves with when they believe that there is no repercussion. They basically, you know, run roughshod right over you. And even when the arguments that they're making are legitimate, the tone, the effort made to suggest that this is unique to this particular administration. And, you know, basically the legitimate issues are also wrapped with a great deal of propaganda as well that give a false impression, and that is wrong.
What would you say? The solution is, because at the same time we need to deal about the truth. I mean, there is the truth that's been brought to light, you know, and obviously people, they do need to know about these things, you know.
I agree. As I said, I'm not even going to argue that. That to me is something that is par for the course. It is true that these are legitimate issues. They are as legitimate today as they ever have been.
Yeah.
That's my point. They've never stopped being true. But what is also important is that we should demand veracity from the people who are at the nexus of this thing. It is important that we know the truth about Julian Assange. That's important. What is the truth about the sexual assault charge and the rape charge? What's the truth of that? That's not important?
Okay. Thanks for taking my call, you Trish.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Ayanda. That's my point. Let's have it all the way around. Let's have the whole thing all the way around. Let's have the truth all the way around. Serious transparency. Let's have it. Not just about the PRISM program. Let's have the truth about the leadership of this movement. Let's have the truth about the key figures involved. Let's have the truth. Let's have it. But you can't tell me that it applies only to the president. It applies only over here. And, you know, you get to know as much as I tell you. No. You ought to be asked questions and you ought to be able to answer the questions. That's transparency too. And we need it. We need to have that level of integrity. We do absolutely need to have that level of integrity. So that's my two cents. And I see a note here saying, what I'm saying is, I'm saying nothing new. I've been saying these. I'm repeating my views from day one. Well, maybe so. But, you know, it's important also to point out something that is routinely discarded. And what I'm pointing out is that the nature of struggle, if in fact we are to elevate the conversation and elevate the nature of the possibility of working together on anything, if in fact we see ourselves as agents of change, we also have to change the mindset that dominates the very effort of change. You would notice that these folks have, this is an entirely all-white thing. All-white. They're fighting for everybody's right, but it's all-white. As is the white world. They're taking charge of it. They'll let you know when it's your time to come in, if they're inclined to let you in. We're way beyond that now. We are way beyond that. I'm not going to have anybody, you know, fighting for me, quote unquote, and then the power equation between me and whoever is leading this struggle is the same as the old colonial days. Get out of here with that nonsense. I'm not even putting up with that. Hello, Eric. You can make it fast if you can.
Okay. I'll try. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I just want to say that I disagree with some of what you said. You know, I think that there have been plenty of young black people that have challenged the power apparatus, including presidents in our past, and they've been brutalized. And I think that Snowden and Assange and some of these other people that are Manning are now feeling the brunt of everything that has been experienced by those people. You know, I feel like the white population is also now experiencing the fact, you look at Europe, these are people that I don't think they imagined that they could be in the kind of poverty situation. You look at people that have lost all these houses in this country, the white people that don't have a future for their kids. They didn't imagine that they could be in the position that black people and people of color all over the world have been in for decades. So, you know, with this understanding, they're trying to come up and they're facing the same brutality that we faced. You know, that doesn't mean that they're wrong for you know, coming up. Well, that doesn't mean that we won't benefit from the fact that they're stepping up and they're being swatted down like flies the same way. Look at Mumia Abu-Jamal. You know, he challenged the power apparatus. I think that his experience, or what has become his, you know, lifelong experience, is going to be the same thing reflected in Manning.
It's same, you know? But it's also very different, Eric. And we're kind of out of time, but it's a bit different. But I see your point, and I agree with you. I have no disagreement with your point at all. I'm saying that if we are to move beyond where this conversation has been since the, 60s, let's just say for recent historical purposes. If we are to do that, then we have to grow up and deal with each other in entirely different ways, and this is not the way to go. And don't tell me that I am to accept leadership or accept this person as the articulator of my issue,
but I can't
ask questions, and I can't look with that to that person with healthy skepticism and suspicion as well. Thanks, Eric. We'll talk again. Thank you all. We'll see each other tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Bye bye.